The Property Coaching and Wealth Creation Podcast, brought to you by property and business coach Daniel Latto. Join the conversation at www.daniellatto.co.uk. Remember to like and subscribe.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. So in this podcast, you'll be interested to know that this is not the podcast that I intended to record. The podcast I intended to record had to be postponed because the cleaner turned up at the villa in Spain. So I talk about first world problem. So what I decided to do was leave the villa and come do a different podcast. The podcast that we were going to do is with a chap called Matthew Moody, and we'll be doing that in the next podcast or two. And Matthew Moody is a very talented property investor who invests in HMOs. Now, you may notice there's a little bit of background noise, and that's because I'm sat at my favourite cafe. It's just by the beach, just near the villa here in Spain. It's about 100 metres down from the villa, and it's facing the sea. So you'll hear some Spanish accents in the background. We're just doing a beer delivery, it would appear. It's about 2 o'clock. There's people milling around, so I probably look like I'm talking to myself like a weird English person. That's quite funny, really. So we thought, why not? Let's just do it from here, and we'll see how it goes. Any feedback that you want to give, we'll happily accept. And in today's webinar, you notice my voice is a little bit quieter than normal because I can't boom around the restaurant as I normally would. Otherwise, they'll look at me a little bit even more weird than they do currently because I'm talking to myself. Okay, so what I wanted to talk to you in this podcast was about some of the mistakes that people make when they're investing. And if you want to make 2016 an amazing year, then the less mistakes you can make, then the better it's going to be. Now, by the way, if you hear me pausing, it's just because I'm going to grab a quick drink of coffee as well. We're going to do the podcast completely unedited, and we'll just stick it out there. Of course, any feedback that you want to give, then please do. More than appreciate it. But let's just run through some of the top 5 biggest mistakes that most ordinary investors make. So the mistake number 1 is that people get swept away by exciting stories. And this is a problem, isn't it? Exciting stories are just that, very exciting. But the day-to-day business of actually running, for example, a property investment company, is it's pretty mundane, other than the fact that sometimes tenants leave it a tip, or they don't pay, or you've got to sue someone for non-payment of rent and that sort of thing. It tends to be quite a dull day, but what happens is that the newspapers and the media just sensationalise everything, because that's their business. They're in the business of sensationalising news in order to sell as many newspapers as possible. Your job isn't that. Your job is not to live a sensationalist lifestyle. Your job is to live a mundane lifestyle. Let the business take care of itself, and it will do that. And in the meantime, you've got to be systemizing the business as much as possible. Now, the problem is, if you see, you know, and I apologize for the noise in the background there, the beer van is just on its way. So, for example, if you... just recently, in one of the newspapers, it said that Sheffield had the best returns for buy-to-let. Now, if you believe that without doing any research, then it's likely you're going to start making a few mistakes, and you're going to start investing in Sheffield, because the type of investments that they said would make the best returns are city centre apartments. They make the best yields. But if you actually do the maths and work out, and by now you should be knowing how to do the calculations on what's important between a yield and a return on investment. If you don't know how to do that, then go and find it online, because it's really important that you understand how to do that. But if you look at the yields, sure, Sheffield city centre flats might actually have the best yield, but it's not yield upon which we make our decisions. That's what amateurs make their decisions on. That's what newspapers make their decisions on. That's what journalists do. Someone made a comment in Twitter about economists, and I can't remember the exact statement, but it was something like, do economists make the best investors? And the answer is no, because if economists did, there wouldn't be economists, there'd be just investors. Economists, people who work for Financial Times, for example, what sort of mistakes have they made on their investments if they're still having to work for a living? So no, they don't make the best investors. But by being swept away by the news headlines, which is what economists make, is news headlines and journalists. You've got to be really careful about what sort of news you're listening to and about you being excited by it. I personally switch off all the news. I don't listen to it because other people's opinion generally is wrong. they're just seeing it from their particular perspective, from their experiences and education. And so if they've got a four-year degree and they're an economist or a journalist, then why should I listen to that? Are they financially free? Are they financially successful? And usually the answer is no. Of course, it can depend, because sometimes the answer is yes. But you've got to understand what's a sensationalised story and what's the actual truth. And the truth is, if you open up your bank account right there, that's the truth. Whatever that bank balance is, that's the truth. So if your bank balance is in minus, then you need to start listening to other people. If your bank balance is in the positive and you've got investments that are making that happen, then you're on the right path and you can stop listening to other people. So you've really got to be making sure that the stories that you're listening to isn't sensationalised. So let's go back to the Sheffield apartments. Yeah, they might have great yields, but what they fail to take into account is the amount of voids that you might be getting, and in addition to that, the amount of money that it costs you in a service charge. That's not taken into account on a yield. And so, yeah, the yields may be 8-9%, possibly. But the actual return on investment is much, much lower. And that's the bit that you've got to be understanding. Okay, so the second reason, or the second potential mistake that people can make, is that they invest in businesses that they don't understand. Now, Warren Buffett is an absolute master at this, and this is one of the reasons he's one of the world's most wealthiest people, is he only invests in businesses that he understands. So if you take something like technology and that sort of thing, he doesn't invest in technology, he doesn't understand it. He invests in things like Coca-Cola and Heinz. He understands mass consumption. That's the sort of business that he invests in, and he invests it for the long term. He absolutely gets what that business is about. He understands all the numbers that he needs to understand. Whereas many people, they come across a shiny new object and think, yeah, I'm going to invest in that. I'm going to create a mobile app company. They create this company and we have no idea how apps works. We don't know how the API integrates with the app. And then they make mistakes because they don't understand it. Now, that's not to say that you can't become educated about it. So, for example, investing in property, you might not understand it, but there's not actually that much to learn. Get yourself a top 10 best-selling books, read them, you pretty much know it all. There's always more stuff to learn, but it's not the knowing that makes the difference, is it? It's the actual doing. So you've got to be making sure that you're implementing what you learn. And not only that, you've got to understand the business that you're investing in. So the other mistake that people make is that they allow themselves to be bullied by great salespeople. So, I mean, you know, how many times have you invested in something because the person, maybe an independent financial advisor, suggested this product for you? And you've got to understand that the IFA is actually making money on recommending that type of product. Now, if you're comfortable with that, then that's fine. But have they got your best interests at heart? Maybe, maybe not. You've got to start making informed decisions, not just be led by people who have a vested interest in you making an investment. So, for example, when you sign up for my coaching, any investments that I recommend, I don't make any commission on. I just don't bother. I get paid up front as a coaching fee. And so that allows me to say, yeah, that's a good investment, or no, that's a terrible investment. If I was making £1,000, £2,000, £3,000 on that investment, that might sway my opinion on that investment, which is why we purposely do it that way. That's like your little protection mechanism, if you like. But don't be swayed by good salespeople. If you're going to go down the path of getting a coach, maybe a property coach like myself, then get one who is independent, whose income isn't depending on them closing business as a property coach. It makes no difference to my income, the money that I make as a property coach, because my income comes from my investments. And that allows me to be further independent on what I would recommend. And if you come to me with an asset, I mean, we just had one with a client and he found a HMO. And on the face of it, it looked a pretty good deal. But it was only an 8% yield. And as we know, a yield isn't the factor that we choose, but it's a what we call a key performance indicator. It's an indicator as to whether it's, you know, on the face of it, if it's a good deal or not. It was a terrible deal. It was a big, big house, 350,000, lots of bedrooms. And it just, you know, for the yield, it just wasn't a great yield. Not when you can get 12 to 15% on smaller units. But we told him that. And now he's looking for something that's going to get him 12 to 15%. And that's what you should be doing as well. We're presenting properties that will actually come under that. It might need 20, 30 grand's worth of work, some planning permissions, some extra bathrooms and so on to make it into an asset that's going to work. But we can do that because we're not making money on that deal. And we can say if it's a good deal or not. So you've got to be really careful about the type of stuff that you're investing into. So number four in terms of mistakes to avoid is investing in trends too late. One of the great examples of this was when people bought off plan. Going back 10 years ago, people were all buying off plan 10, 15 years, and they bought all the stuff. And the problem is the prices inflated that much. The only people that they could sell it onto are the bigger fools. I'm sure you've heard the saying out of Star Wars, who's the fool? The fool or the fool that follows? One of my favourite sayings out of Star Wars. And then Chewie pops his head up, if you remember that scene. And so you don't want to get caught with an asset that you can't move on. So if you're jumping on the apple cart and or the wagon, you know what? The wagon's already left. You've got to get in there right at the start of it. Otherwise, you're just trying to sell onto the bigger fool, and that's not going to work for you. So, you know, we went through a stage where the amount of purchasing for a property used to be 50 grand and now it's 80 grand, and yet the rent was still the same. 350 had maybe gone up to 375, or maybe 400 has gone up to 425. There wasn't enough growth in it. It's a clear sign that there's no more room left. And so when you get caught out like that, you've then got to sell it on to a bigger fool. And they're harder to find. And then obviously there's the ethical consideration. So you can't invest in trends too late. So you've got to make sure that you're in the right cycle. And we call this the bell curve. You know, I'm sure you've seen the bell curve. And at the start of the bell curve, and I used to be one of the innovators in the bell curve, people right at the start of that bell curve, you'd be caught. I think it was an innovator. I think that was the terminology. I'm usually a laggard, especially when it comes to technology. But right now on my investing, I invest just before we hit the top of that bell curve. So if you don't know what a bell curve is, just go online, type bell curve and have a look at some of the images, and it'll show you a really good example of what a bell curve looks like. But you've got to be careful about where you're investing in this cycle, because if you get that wrong, it's going to cost you a lot of money. And when you're investing, you see, it doesn't cost you money this month or this year. It costs you money for the next 10 years, potentially. And it can affect your entire life. So you've got to really make sure that you're getting that right. So the other and final way in which people make mistakes is that they invest without a way to limit losses. Now, if you're doing forex trading, for example, we call this a stop loss. So if the markets take a tumble and you're going long, then when the markets tumble, your stop loss kicks in and it kicks you out of the deal, kicks you out of a trade. Now, one of the beauties of property is that it can be pretty forgiving if you make a mistake. You've just got to wait 10 years and prices will rebound and go past the point that you actually bought at. So if you're in negative equity now, you just go wait 10, 15, 20 years, take advantage of hopefully positive cash flow. And if you're not getting positive cash flow, then you've got to invest back into that property to turn it around to make it a positive cash flowing property. I remember going back sort of 10 years ago, reading an article in one of the investor magazines, a landlord magazine. It was about a couple, and they bought a house for 120 grand that paid £595 a month. It was on an 85% mortgage. Going back these times, you could get 85% mortgage. You put 15% down, it's about £20,000 down. And then we had to spend another £25,000 actually doing a place up to make it livable. So I spent £45,000. And in doing so, they were getting a £600 return, which is a terrible return, quite frankly. When you compare that to a property that you could buy for 130 grand, yeah, 15% on that is still a bigger deposit, but it's not the £40,000 they're having to put onto this one. And what they said, this is how they justified it. They justified it and said, well, when we have paid enough of the mortgage off, then that property will start generating a decent income. That's crazy. Why not buy a property right away that actually generates a decent income now, £200-300 a month? They're out there. He's got to find the right one instead of adding value to it and then hoping it's going to actually work out for you. It's just not the way it's done. Well, it's the way that some people do it, and that's why they're still poor or not wealthy, or they still have to work for a living. Instead of getting to a position where they can just simply retire rich, retire young, if you like, you know. So you've got to find a way to invest without being totally open to losing all your money. And property is such a good way of doing that, because you can always add value. You can add a garage, you can add... one of the things we did in one of my properties is we added a swing. you know, the swing set was like 150 quid, 50 quid to install it. Heck, I even did it myself and planted the poles in the ground and then cemented them and so on. Dug it all up and did it, and it looked really cool. And so we added value onto that. Now that house is one of our rentals. It's a 3-bed detached house. And the type of person that will rent that is someone with kids. So we actually added value just by spending an extra £200 to make it really livable from a tenant's point of view, because they had kids. So you can do that by adding extra value. That's one of the things that is awesome about property. You'll find it very difficult, by the way, to add value to Marks and Spencers unless you buy all your shopping from there. And actually, that makes no difference anyway. So you can't do anything about that. You have less control when you're investing in shares. And for some people, that's fine because it means it's more hands-off. But if you're looking to quickly accelerate your wealth, then you want to be able to get into a position where you can control what you do with that asset. And investing in stocks and shares and Forex, you can't really do that. But property will definitely allow you to do that. So I hope that's useful for you. These are the 5 biggest mistakes that most investors actually make. Now, obviously, they're fairly obvious. The kind of mistakes that you can avoid by just applying some common sense. But avoiding these mistakes is part of how I've managed to get richer year after year. My wealth has continually increased. So look, think about your own investment experiences and the investments that you're making right now. I mean, you've got to ask yourself, am I actually making any of these mistakes? And if you can prevent yourself from making those mistakes, then your results will accelerate. All right, just a short, sharp one today. I hope that's useful for you. My name's Dan Latto. I'd love any feedback from you, so just drop me a line. Take care.
The Property Coaching and Wealth Creation Podcast, brought to you by property and business coach Daniel Latto. Join the conversation at www.daniellatto.co.uk. Remember to like and subscribe.